Yeah. So, I'm here with Luke from Epic, and Luke, how have you gone this Beervana?
Beervana has been outstanding.
Yes?
The crowds have been amazing, the selection of beers we got here are just like mind-blowing for me, and I've tried like a lot of beers in this country, but there's beers here I've never even seen before.
But you yourself personally have done quite well, you've won awards again.
Won awards for the Epic Pale Ale again, another gold and best in class, which is pretty exciting. You're always a bit nervous to see if your beer's not the same standard as last year.
Fantastic. I have to say, personally, I have just come from the Malt House, where I had Epic Armageddon.
Ah, fantastic.
Now, I'm holding Epic Pale Ale in my hand, and it's a lovely amber colour. The Epic Armageddon was black, almost.
Yeah, it's quite a sort of a really dark coppery colour.
Yeah?
It's just because it's got a lot more darker, sweeter malts in it, which can carry that really big hop bitterness.
I have to say, I tried it, and the very first thing I thought was, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of flavour.
The reason that it's called Armageddon is because it's big.
Yeah.
It's bigger than Epic.
And also, we caught the Martin Bosley thing where they were matching your beer with the crostini with the...
Wasn't that awesome match?
That was fantastic. I didn't actually get a chance to try it.
They
pick me from the audience. I have no idea why, but...
I actually went up, I did it this morning earlier on, and I found that the spiciness and the hoppy character in the Epic Pale Ale worked really well with they had a bit of mint
in the broad beans.
In the broad beans,
yes.
But also the saltiness from the anchovy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Because when I heard about it, I was like, oh, I don't know if Epic's going to go with that.
Yeah.
I actually got to try it afterwards when they finished up.
Because it seems quite delicate. And Epic, the pale ale is quite a hoppy beer.
It's pretty full on.
Yeah.
Which is really good because I've just been talking to a guy and he's gone. He does like a lot of cheese tastings for chefs and stuff. And he goes, he always uses the Epic pale ale as like a mainstay because it can always cut through a really, really big cheese because it's got a lot of flavour.
Yeah.
And he uses it. He brings in other beers, but Epic Pale Ale is always there for him.
Now, they mentioned at this Martin Bosley thing that you did a lot of training in the US. Well, training, I say. You toured the US and looked at a lot of their beers. How did that sort of influence you?
Recently?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. They said you did, and I didn't know that. So.
How far back? In April, I was in California. I did a bit of a tour. But I was primarily there to be a judge for the World Beer Cup.
Oh, fantastic.
I spent a week in
San Diego. That must have sucked. That must have been awful.
Tell you what, people joke about that, but it's actually really, really hard work because you spend like 2 days judging sort of 60, 80 beers per day.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of concentration because you got to like smell it, look at it, taste it, articulate what you've experienced in words, write that down so the brewer can get that back as feedback. People go, oh, well, that's really great. But the guys I was traveling with from New Zealand, at the end of the day, they go, oh, you know, fun. I'm going, I'm so exhausted mentally from like trying all these beers.
And having to think and judge.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is important being a judge. You can't just drink the beer and pick whichever one you remember when you're
buying sober up. Well, you're sitting there with a table of seven other judges and everyone's brought there because of their base of knowledge so they can all contribute. But that part's hard. But when you're actually travelling around breweries and trying different beers and sort of seeing what's happening over there, San Diego was a great influence. And that was my influence for Armageddon.
Really? San Diego? Yeah. What do they do in San Diego?
For some reason, all the craft breweries over there are trying to make the hoppiest, craziest, bitterest, strongest beer in the whole world.
It's the Americans going over the top, right?
And it's just like, why San Diego? Because it's like, they don't grow hops there. I don't know what it is. It must be just the personalities there, and they're just making bigger and better and better beers. And
now, you personally must be impinging on the world hop supply quite a bit because the
personally
Epic, yes
at
I think
personal
so
level. It,
well because the Epic Pale Ale has 8 is that right
hop, 15
sorry
hops per bottle,
hops per bottle.
Yep.
And the Armageddon is just some monstrous
it's
number,
it's like 26, and the equivalent like Corona and Heineken is like 0.2.
That's
a large number difference.
That's a huge difference. I mean, is that something that you're aiming for, that large number, to try and make something that's very tasty?
I'm not doing it to make it large. I'm doing it because of the flavour. And it's about balancing it. It's not just going, wow, let's see how many we can physically put in the tank. It's
although that would be cool.
Well, no, that's what it looked like from the outside. But it's also balancing it with malt sweetness and bitterness and alcohol and flavour. It's just getting that balance. So it's drinkable because you can just...
Yeah.
throw in a lot of hops, and it's going to be bitter and horrible, and you're not going to be able to drink it. So the craft in it all, the skill is actually balancing all those flavors together, so you have a beverage that's like really pleasant to drink, but at the same time challenging and exciting.
Yeah. Now I want to talk about your sort of advertising scheme, because you've done something really interesting in that you haven't gone to traditional media. I've never seen an Epic ad in a magazine or a newspaper.
That's to do with our budget.
That's true. But you've gone to people like me, bloggers.
Oh, totally.
And people who are quite interconnected.
Exactly. Because I guess I've sort of had this career where I've been a brewer and then working for a web design company and then a brewer again. And had this sort of growing a website in New Zealand with realbeer.co.nz and creating a community there and just seeing that there's a lot of people that kind of getting into web communities and stuff, and like that's where I'm totally at. And it's like, well, hey, I've got this brand and something cool to sell or promote, and I've got this community of people I'm going to share it with them. And it's just sort of growing from there, and I meet new people, and my network grows, and I sort of tell them about my beer and where they can buy it, and then they start loving it, and they share it, and it's feeding on itself. And
well, it seems to have worked incredibly well. Has it? I mean,
oh yeah, today. But at the same time, it's like very small scale.
But true.
At the same time, I get a lot of value. I put a lot of time into it because I don't have a lot of spare cash to be thrown around to go, oh, we'll take the front page of the local paper, or whatever, a TV ad or a big billboard. It's like, well, that's a lot of cash, and it's just a shotgun attitude. You're not going to hit the people that really matter, really care. And I'm finding people that are using technology in web communities and stuff, of the ones I'm hanging on. We're not talking Bebo or anything.
No, I think you'd be in trouble with that one.
But it was, I'm just finding like-minded people that it's like, it's not just the fact that they're using technology, they also have the same interest. They're actually looking for food and beverages that are really interesting. They've got disposable income. They don't mind spending a bit more on getting something really good. They're not like going down the $2 shop or the warehouse all the time. It's like, they're prepared to spend a bit to get something of quality. And if they find something that sucks or they find something that's good, they share that through their communities online, and then the people within their communities find out about it. And I think that's why Epic's working, because I make a really great product. If I don't say myself,
and I will say it, you make a really great product.
And it's like, well, because of that, and the fact that I'm promoting it through my networks, and people going, wow, try it, I really love Epic, and they tell their friends, it's just slowly feeding on itself, and people are like spreading the word, and I'm trying to give a bit too to the community, like yourself. It's like, if I can give a bit to help promote what you're doing, and whether it be through a few free beers that you can give away or drink yourself to really enjoy, it's just,
and we prefer the latter, but
and it's just giving a bit back to those people that are helping me. If it's just a bit of free Google juice on someone's blog, or someone puts out a tweet about like they've had a really cool night with Epic, or they've shared it with a friend,
and that's the thing, you've got a Twitter feed, you've got a Flickr feed, you've got a
Facebook
blog, Facebook
friend feed,
YouTube. I haven't seen the YouTube.
Oh, yeah, there's not a lot of videos. There's a lot of stuff that I've rehashed out of Dig Nation.
Oh, of course.
Because Dig Nation drank Epic, which is really, that was a cool story. Yeah, because I know my brother works in San Francisco for an IT company.
Yeah.
And actually a design company. And I know a guy that's an Air New Zealand pilot, and I connected the dots. My brother works like 3 blocks around the corner from the Dig headquarters.
Yeah.
So I hook up a couple of six packs, airline pilot, in his carry-on, onto the plane. My brother meets him at the hotel, picks it up, takes it to the Dig offices, makes it on Dig Nation.
Now, I know very little about viral marketing, but that seems to be fantastic. That's going to be the best thing.
That was a bit of fun. It didn't cost me anything. It cost me a couple of six packs to the pilot and my brother, but it's like, well, I would have given them to them anyway, just drinking beers with them, but it was all good fun. And it was a bit of fun, because it wasn't like the quarter of a million people that watched Dig Nation that week were going to have access to it. I had I probably had a dozen emails from people all around the world that had seen it saying, hey, send me a six-pack to Turkey. I'm going, dude, that ain't going to happen. If you come to New Zealand, I'll buy you beer.
Yes.
But other people in New Zealand had seen it. They go, wow, dude, that was so cool, but I drink your beer anyway.
Yeah.
They already knew about it because, I don't know, because they were in my sort of greater network.
Yeah. Fantastic. Finally, you're based in Auckland, but obviously the beer is everywhere in New Zealand. I saw it in the supermarket today.
Based in Auckland, focused pretty much on Auckland and Wellington, because they're the big centres.
Yeah.
Anyone outside there, they're ringing up going, hey, we've got to have Epic growing, cool. We'll send it to you direct, and But we're just focusing on those two towns because it's a lot of fun. I love the people in those towns. But
yeah,
South Island's really hard just through logistics and having someone on the ground.
I wouldn't bother with the South Island. I've heard only bad things about them. Yeah. Cool. And if for people who want to get in touch with you to get Epic to places like the South Island, where do they go?
We've got outlets in the South Island, but we're not putting a lot of energy there. We just want to get these markets sorted because we've still got so much work to do because it's really hands-on. Like, I'm pretty much doing everything myself. Got a little bit of sales support from another company we outsource sales to, but it's me. Like, if an order comes in from them, I'm processing it, I'm making it happen. I'm going to the brewery, I'm making the beer happen. It's just like, I'm a one-man band pretty much.